Welcome to the Knock Soccer Podcast, where we tell the soccer stories of our favorite big town, little city, Knoxville, Tennessee. I'm Patrick Teasdale.
And I'm Brian Canever.
On this episode, it's all about One Knox, baby. We're back, and better than ever, professional men's soccer is upon us. And you may be saying to yourself, Brian, Patty, it's barely even spring. Why is there a season preview already? Well, dear listener, One Knox is pro now. So that means more matches, more boys in blue domination, more Seba headers, more Saka in 865.
That's right, Patty. So here's how this episode's going to go down. First, we're going to start off with a USL League One explainer, the who, what, where, when, why, and how of the league. Then we're going to talk a little bit about Lexington Sporting Club. Or soccer club. We're the sporting club.
Yeah,
Patty.
We're the sporting club.
We're going to talk a little bit about Lexington SC, the first opponent which One Knox will face this Saturday at Regal Soccer Stadium. We're then going to talk a little bit about the club and actually hand things over to the gaffer, Mark McKeever, who's going to give us some insights prior to their opening match. And we're going to talk a little bit about what we are excited to see, hoping that you'll also share in the comments, in the social medias, all of those things, what you are most excited to see for this season.
First up is USL 1 and how we got here. So here is the who and the what. USL 1 is a 12-team league that is the third tier in the U.S. soccer pyramid. It's below the USL Championship. That's where Tyler Gibson, a guest on the previous episode, plays for Louisville City, and then MLS being the top. Everybody knows that. USL 1 held its first season in 2019 with South Georgia Tormenta being the first founding member. Tormenta are also the reigning champs of this past year, beating out the Chattanooga Red Wolves, boo Red Wolves, 2-1 in Chattanooga. So, Tormenta matchup still lives on. They have a USL 2 team, they have a USL 1 team. We're coming for you, Tormenta. The USL Academy supports the USL 1 and the championship, and One Knox announced they will have an academy with the merging of Knox Reds and Knox Crush. There's a men's and women's team that will participate in a USL Academy tournament later this month. More on that later. And yes, there are two women's leagues, USLW, currently in existence, and the Super League, which is launching in 2024. One Knox has not officially announced a women's side yet, but with a women's academy team, we think it's only a matter of time. Right, Brian?
Oh, yeah. I've heard some whispers about a potential Super League team, which Super League will actually be the second tier. It'll be right below the NWSL, the National Women's Soccer League. So we've got a known NWSL team close to us. I think the closest is probably Racing Louisville. And so it would be big if Knoxville could get one. And then if we do wind up with a USLW team, particularly with the Lady Vols, literally in our backyard as of Saturday, like we will be in their front yard.
Right.
Asheville City as a team. So we might rekindle a women's version of the Smoky Mountain Series.
Oh, that'd be exciting. So the when and where of the USL 1, One Knox will play from March 18th, this Saturday, until October 14th for the regular season. Then there is a playoff. 30 matches overall, 16 home matches played on the home pitch of the UT Lady Vols soccer team, Regal Soccer Stadium. 9 matches will be on Saturdays, 3 on Fridays, and 2 each on Wednesdays and Tuesdays. For a majority of the teams that we will play, we'll get to play them home and away. Some of them will only get to play once. Some of them we actually get to play 3 times. You get to really fess out who is the good opponents and, you know, get to wallop on them on home turf and away turf.
Exactly. And we'll get more than one opportunity to wallop Lexington SC on home turf. They are among 3 teams that we will face at home twice. And so we'll face Lexington twice at home, Chattanooga Red Wolves twice at home, which our local supporters group, the Scruffs, have given to calling them the East Ridge Red Wolves. And I saw in the Discord earlier this week that somebody was driving, you know, up the interstate past East Ridge, and they decided to flick a middle finger at the sign.
When I was on the Chattanooga FC podcast, that is exactly what they called them. They call them the East Ridge team. So yeah, down with the East Ridge Red Wolves.
Yeah, so we'll see. We'll see Lexington twice. We'll see Chattanooga twice. We'll see Charlotte twice and NCFC twice. And actually, I believe we'll also see the Northern Colorado hailstorm twice at home. So there's a, like you said, there's a handful of teams that will be playing three times, and a couple of those that I just mentioned will be at home twice.
And a majority of these teams in the USL One are kind of southeastern, to be honest. Like, we're in the epicenter of them all. We only have one California team. We only have one Colorado team, and then Omaha. And then, do we have, is Spokane there? No, that's next year.
So you're right, Patty. We have most of the teams in the southern region. We have, of the 12 teams, Chattanooga, Charlotte, Greenville Triumph, Lexington, North Carolina FC. And then when you get a little further out, we've got the South Georgia Tormenta and Richmond Kickers. And there really isn't a lot going far west of us. Central Valley are out there. Literally in a valley, a very distant valley.
Yep.
One Knox will travel to play them twice, so they'll have to get on a plane to go see them. I think it's like a 715-hour bus drive, if not. and then next year there will be Santa Barbara Sky and a Spokane team coming into the league, which will give them some company out there on the West Coast.
Right. Midwest teams, you have Union Omaha as well as Forward Madison, which we met the Forward Madison Supporters Club even before our team existed. So that's going to be a great rivalry between One Knox, the Scruffs, and them. So how did we get here? Unlike the English soccer system, there is no promotion relegation yet. So any town or city can create a team and join in whatever level they want, barring the league requirements. So One Knox ownership wanted to start a professional men's soccer team, but there was a requirement that an amateur team of some sort had to already exist in that name before they're eligible for professional ball. Hence why One Knoxville was a USL 2 team last year, and we were amateur league. This year is the year that the ownership, the fans, and the city have been waiting for: professional soccer in Knoxville, Tennessee. So the why? Well, we hope that this pod has really helped answer that why question, but one stat just to drive it home: our 1,600 average fan attendance last year in USL2, an amateur league, competes in the middle of the pack of a league up in the professional leagues. And that is with our tour of the town approach. So I just can't imagine how many will average now with a permanent location. So let's pack it out, Knoxville. There is a soccer community here, and we love our footy. One Knoxville. SC is pro, and I cannot wait till Saturday. All right, Brian, tell us who we're going up against for Saturday. Lexington SC.
So we will be facing the other debutante team in the league, Lexington. So One Knoxville and Lexington are the only two new clubs joining USL League One. And it's exciting because it rekindles the battle of the barrel, which existed between our college teams. Obviously, here in Knoxville, we are home to the Tennessee Vols and Lady Vols. And in Lexington, they're home to the University of Kentucky. And so I think we saw a picture tweeted out of a barrel in the back of a truck this week. So there may physically be a barrel there. You know, it's an exciting matchup because both teams are unpredictable. There's nothing to really predict right when you haven't seen them before. I did do some scouting beforehand, and obviously fans can go to each team's website and look up the rosters and see the individual players, but it's going to be a very competitive match. It's going to be aired on ESPN Plus. I've already confirmed. I've actually gone in the app itself and looked, and One Knoxville exists there. The badge hasn't been updated there, and it's not been updated on Google yet, but it will be soon. A couple of things to mention before that match. Walkin 90, which is a League One podcast, they actually did a fan and host ranking for the season, and they have One Knoxville finishing sixth, which would be the last playoff spot. As you mentioned, the league's got 12 teams. Six teams qualify for the end of season playoffs, and they have Greenville, Tormenta, and Richmond in the top three, with Knoxville in six and Lexington outside of the top six. So Walkin 90 and their people do not believe Lexington will make it into the playoffs. Of course, it's really hard to predict. Lexington's head coach is Sam Stockley, an Englishman who's really starting off his head coaching career there in Lexington. Former pro, he played in England's lower leagues for many, many years. He also played for the Carolina Railhawks, which is the predecessor to North Carolina FC. He was also a coach there. He was a scout for the U.S. men's national team, which, if anybody's been following U.S. men's national team stuff between the Reynas and Greg Berhalter right now. It's like,
oh man, drama. Like,
finish our podcast episode first, and then go over to Twitter because it's wild. So Stockley, he was a scout for the U.S. men. He coached in Wales as well, and this is like his first gig. He's the director of sporting development. He's a head coach. He's brought in a fairly young team, so there's not a lot of players with USL1 experience in this club. He does have a couple. Don Smart is a highly experienced veteran of many semi-professional and pro leagues here in the U.S. He has also brought in Jamaica's number two goalie, Amal Knight. And so we have a player with international experience there. When I listened to the USL1 show podcast, they did a preview of this season, and they talked a little bit about One Knoxville and Lexington. And with Lexington, they actually had one of their podcasters on. He said this is kind of a wait and see team. So they're a young squad. It's a squad focused on development. They already have two academy players that are playing in their first team. So One Knoxville is just starting its academy. Lexington did not have a USL2 or amateur league team last year, but they did already have some youth players that they were developing. So they've got two in that side, and they're really thinking about moving them up and building. So this is kind of like a try and see season for them. On the other hand, you know, One Knoxville is like full steam ahead. We're going to hear from the gaffer, Mark McKeever, in just a little bit. But when you listen to the other podcasts, we have them all linked in our show notes, or you go to USL League One and you read some of the articles that they've written, previewing the season, giving you the top newcomers, the top defenders. One Knoxville players are all over there. We haven't seen Lexington players. The goalie Amal Knight is considered among the best goalies in the league. You know, but one Knox brought in Ahinga Salamani, who's a former U.S. youth international, played in Europe. They brought in Frank Ross, who's a former Scotland youth international who played for Aberdeen. He most recently played in the Dutch Eredivisie. They're considered two of the top newcomers to the league. High expectations. Frank literally just arrived a few days ago, so he hasn't even gotten to practice with the team before game week. And then in terms of defenders, One Knox got the pulled off the coup, bringing Jordan Skelton, who had played for Mark McKeever for many years, including at the Des Moines Menace and Young Harris College. They actually transferred him from North Carolina FC, and so he's considered one of the top defenders in the league, along with Jalen Chrysler, who actually I think was rated among the best defenders in the league last year. He's got, you know, several USL League One records that he already owns. And so we've got a really stout back line. I think what's exciting, Patty, is that we really don't know what to expect. It's going to be completely new. There's going to be nerves on both sides. It's actually going to be the first time both sides touch the field at Regal Soccer Stadium. I'm really excited about it. I'm encouraged by the fact that everyone will be able to see it this year. You made a reference to attendances, and I pulled up USL League One attendance since you mentioned it. You know, Forward Madison brings massive numbers, home and away, so they'll be fun since we got to meet with their supporters group with the Flock a couple of years ago. And then Richmond Kickers also goes big. Greenville Triumph had a couple of high attendances, but One Knoxville has an opportunity, despite the limit on 3,000 capacity. I am hearing that they will allow people to sit on the mounds in the back, so not just in the bleachers. There will be some
room. Oh, man, that's going to be awesome.
Yeah, there will be some room to spread out. The average low attendance at home last year was Forward Madison at 2,600. But we had some teams that, you know, were under 1,000 for the low attendance. If One Knoxville can consistently pack the stadium out, it'll be incredible for the first year of pro soccer. So very exciting.
Very, very exciting.
I feel like I've talked sufficiently, Patty. So let's kick it on over to the man who actually knows what he's doing and what he's talking about, the gaffer, Mark McKeever, who joined me earlier today to chat a little bit about this opening game. Okay, guys, so I've got Mark McKeever here, head coach of One Knoxville SC, and we are just days away from the professional debut against Lexington SC. Mark, how has preparation been in the days leading up to this first home game on Saturday?
Yeah, it's been a long journey, Brian. I mean, we started here at the beginning of February. We've plugged away week by week in preparation for this moment. So it's not been a week process. It's not a couple of day process, but It's been weeks and weeks of being in the training ground and having discussions, creating the culture, creating the expectations, creating the training ground environment, the locker room environment. So we feel as though we're in a really good place with all aspects of the program. We're never, ever close to being complete, but we're in a really good place to proceed.
So last season in USL 2, it was obviously an amateur league. You did have some players who had some professional experience that came back down into the amateur leagues for the opportunity to play. This year, you're working with 22 professionals, several of whom are first-time professionals. What's it been like balancing that group out between guys like Jordan Skelton or Jalen Chrysler, who have several years experience, Ilya Illich, with other guys, especially the ones that one Knoxville fans will know, like Danny Fernandez, Sebastian Andreasen, and Jamesy Thomas, who are making their professional debuts?
Yeah, so I think it was always a plan and the set out to make sure that we had a good balance of various tiers within the group. And obviously that higher tier would be the lads who are at the back end of their career, Ilya Illich, Angelo Kelly, Jake Keegan, who have spent many, many years as pros and using those guys to filter through. We also have many players that have played in the league. You know, the Derek Waldecks of the world, Jimmy Villalobos, like, as you say, Jordan Skelton, Jalen. You know, that's the second tier of group of professionals within the USL 1 who are very well accomplished players. And then, as you say, we have our new tier of players, the One Knox guys, have came to join us from the USL 2. So we feel as though it's a good mix. You know, the younger guys, the new professionals from this summer are providing masses and masses of energy. The lads at the back end of their career are providing their experience. And then it's been a teaching model for the middle tier group as well, the Skeltons and the Chryslers and, you know, the Waldecks and Villalobos. So we have a really good balance. So that was the purpose of building the base, is to have that balance, to make sure that, you know, everybody's chasing something. You know, everybody's teaching something. Everybody's bringing something to the table. So I think that's the value in the squad that we have, is everybody is going to play a massive role, whether it be somebody that's been a pro for 9 or 10 years, or whether it's be, you know, Jamesy Thomas or Danny the Bull Fernandez coming in and providing the energy and excitement. So good balance, and we're in a really good place with that balance.
So there's been a lot of commentary around the league, some from the league itself, other commentary from some of the USL 1 media outlets, and they're projecting One Knoxville to have a great season. I saw some preseason rankings that have One Knox already qualifying for playoffs, which only six teams will get into. We've seen a lot of attention given to Jordan Skelton is one of the top defenders in the league. Then Hinga Selimani, a former U.S. international. Frank Ross coming in, who I know is just integrating into the group now. What do you think about the hype, and what do you have to say to people who are already making projections about the team?
Yeah, I don't know about any of the projections. I've not listened to any projections, and I really don't care about the projections, to be honest with you. I think it's exciting for our fans, right? And it's exciting for the ownership group, and it's exciting for everybody that surrounds anything that's outside our locker room. Within our locker room, projections, they don't matter. They don't matter to us. What we are going to do is what we are going to do. We are going to try and do the best that we possibly can do. You know, a wise man once told me, yeah, projections looks great in paper, but soccer's not played on paper. So I will leave it at that. I think the projections are great. I think it's exciting for the fans, exciting for the ownership group, but it's never realistic. It's not real. So we want to provide the realism, and that's what we plan to do.
Okay, so you are just days away from making your dream come true. I read last year when I was preparing to talk to you for the first time after the club had announced you as its first coach. This is, you know, pre-USL 2, so this is actually a little over a year ago. Uh-huh. And, you know, I'd found an article in the Daily Record back home in Scotland where you had been interviewed, and you said, being involved in professional football is a dream that I will keep chasing. Well, 10 years later, you're just days away from making that come true. What's it like for you emotionally, or for your family that's been with you waiting to make this dream come to fruition?
Yeah, that's a great question, Brian. I will answer this question honestly and openly. I haven't one day since preseason thought about myself. So this is not about me and my dreams. This is about me helping the club, helping the players represent the city, represent the club. And so my thoughts have been with everybody else apart from myself, to be honest with you. I want my players to achieve. I want to excite the fans. I want to make the ownership group proud. I want to make the city in Oxville proud. So my investment right now is not in me. I haven't thought about me. And, you know, that's generally, you know, my scope. I don't want to think about me. I want to think about the players who are going to represent what I'm all about.
If you could give me some insights into what preparation has been like specifically for Lexington. I know they also have a coach with several years experience, a lot of experience as a pro in the lower leagues in England, Sam Stockley, who's also making his head coaching professional debut in USL1. And unlike some of the other teams in the league, there's no film to watch because Lexington SC has not existed before. They've never played a game. They haven't played in USL2 or NPSL or any of the other leagues. And so we've seen some of their players or signings. They've got veterans. They've got a lot of youth in their team. How do you prepare for another team that's debuting and maybe has a little bit more information on the style of soccer that you like to play and the players that you've already brought in?
Yeah, it is early in the season, and there's not much information on Lexington. But at the end of the day, Brian, as we get to the last game in the season, our scope of our approach is not going to be different from our approach in the first game of the season. Our expectations evolve around us meeting our expectations. Then there might be a 5% of, okay, we expect this team to do this or this team to do that, but it's never about our opponents. It's always about us. So I don't think it really matters the scope of what's available to watch, because at the end of the day, we don't know how Lexington are going to set up. If we had 15 game reviews on Omaha, for example, it doesn't matter. We're still going to set up to play the way that we're going to play. And Omaha might have set up 14 times one way, but when they come to play us, they might set up a different way. So you can never take anything into a film review. You can watch tendencies and you can provide expectations, you can provide player tendencies, player talents, etc., individuals, but you never know what your opponents are going to provide. So I think it would be very wrong of us to say we're in a worse place now than what we're going to be 15 games into the season, because the coaches and every team are going to try and change the environment. They're going to try and be unpredictable. They're not going to try and do the same thing for 32 games, right? So we don't know what's ahead of us. What we know is we have our expectations to meet, and we've got to meet them on the ball, off the ball. We're going to give a variety of options on the ball, off the ball, against a variety of formations, different types of opponents that we might come up against. So I think it's our focus has got to stay in our locker room. You know, it's got to be us achieving what we set out to achieve. And like I say, there can be a little bit of manipulation here and there with the press or the formations, but it's a small percentage of the game. You never know. You never know what your opponents, where your opponents are going to be, how they're going to press, when they're going to press. So I don't take too much into that. So we're just trying to do us, Brian, quite simply. And that won't change. In game two, we'll still try to do us. In game 32, we'll still try to do us.
I know several fans have been following along through preseason. You had some really high-level competition preparing for this debut, and so you went up to Louisville City and tied Louisville City, the USL Championship runners-up last year. You finished out against Columbus Crews, number two side. You played Chattanooga FC, and we overheard in the commentary that one of their commentators said, you know, one Knoxville's playing this game like it's a final and it's a friendly, and it made a lot of us that have been following the club for the past year kind of grin, knowing that your motto is every match is a cup final, right? So without revealing too much, what can you tell Knoxville fans, the many fans that will flood Regal Soccer Stadium on Saturday about what they can expect from this team when it hits the pitch.
I would like to take this moment to tell you a little bit of insight into our locker room, Brian. As you know, I'll never talk about an individual. I'll never talk about a group of individuals. I'll only talk about us and the team that we are and what we are trying to create and what we are trying to do. So as we step on the field for the first game, right through to the last game, we have a group of values as a team. And those values are going to epitomise our product on the field, our product in the community, our product at training every day, how we're going to represent the club, how we're going to play our games, home, away, etc. So those values, we have five of them. That first value for us is commitment. Commitment to each other, commitment to the training ground, commitment to the games, commitment to the clubs, commitment to the city. The next one is leadership. There's various roles in leadership, and we give the picture of driving. If you're driving a bus from South Florida to the northwestern part of the country, and you have two teams that is on a bus journey, and one team has one bus driver, and the other team has 32 drivers, then who's going to get to their destination quicker? So I feel as though the leadership aspects of what we're trying to build within the club, everybody's going to have a role, and everybody's going to have a role in leadership. So leadership is a second value, very, very important to the success of the team. The next one is a unit, and it's always about the unit. If the unit is functioning at 100%, or let's say, for example, 50% of the unit is achieving and 50% of the unit is not achieving, then we're only getting 50% of the value. So everything we do, the unit always buys into it. That can be training, games, commitment to the community, commitment to the club, commitment to the values, everything. We do it as a unit, always, through thick and thin. The last one is a sense of humility. We'll never, ever get ahead of ourselves. There'll always be a sense of humility within our locker room. We'll never be too high. We'll never be too low. And we'll always be very grateful of the opportunity that this club has provided us, that this city is going to support us in. And the last part, the last value, which is very important to me, is excitement. It's our jobs to excite the fans that come to watch us. The fans that are paying the money to come into that stadium and watch us play, we need to excite them. We need to do everything we can with those other four values to make sure that we're doing everything we can to excite this city, our fans, our ownership, our everything. One Knoxville is going to be excited.
All right. And on that note, Mark, I'll let you go. Thank you for taking some time to talk with me.
Thank you, Brian. Appreciate you, brother.
We are so excited to announce a new sponsor, Union Place Bar and Grill. With 12 beers on tap, wine and liquor, a full lunch and dinner menu featuring delicious hamburgers and wings, 18 televisions, a decked out game room including pool, darts, shuffleboard, and PGA Golden Tee, as well as live music on the weekends, Union Place is the spot to enjoy the beautiful game in Knoxville. Watch English Premier League and other professional televised matches inside or from the spacious outdoor patio. Visit unionplacebar.com for more information. As some of you may know, Union Place is one of the spots you are guaranteed to find soccer playing in Knoxville, whether that's a midweek FA Cup or Champions League fixture or EPL on Saturday and Sunday mornings. This year, Union Place became the official local pub of Knoxville Arsenal's supporter club, so you're guaranteed to find the Gooners on the TVs during any of their matches. If you're looking for a spot to enjoy some good footy and a pint with friends, or to hang out, eat some delicious chicken wings, and to listen to some great music, Union Place is a spot for you and your family. Thank you to Union Place for sponsoring the Knox Soccer Podcast. We are so excited to once again partner with Markman's Diamonds for 2023. Markman's is a proud sponsor of the Knox Soccer Podcast and One Knoxville SC, located at 6932 Kingston Pike. Markman's has been Knoxville's choice for diamonds and fine jewelry since 1976. Visit markmansdiamonds.com. Jeff Markman is a diehard football fanatic. Brian, Jeff, and myself have had a lively group chat going throughout the entire World Cup. And as One Knoxville has crushed it with their signings, the excitement and banter has no end in sight. Markman's Diamonds truly believes that Knoxville is a soccer town, and we are so thankful for their support. The Knock Soccer Podcast is looking to grow the team this year. If you are passionate about soccer and social media, we need you on our team. We have huge plans for the pod this year and need a creative, energetic go-getter to take the Knock Soccer Podcast socials to the next level. Perks would be free admission to all the One Knox home games, unlimited hot dogs and pizza cones, as well as creative freedom to rock your soccer passion on the only soccer podcast social channels in the 865. So if you are a football fanatic that is a high school or college student and are interested in joining our team, DM us on Instagram. All right, back to the pod. Now we are back and we are chatting about what Brian and Patrick are both excited to see. Brian, I have complete confidence that One Knoxville will come out of the gates hot and give Lexington SC a proper Knoxville welcome. But I do want to hear what you are most excited to see this season. Step back, check your soccer pulse. What are you excited to see, Brian?
So this team has talked about winning and creating a winning tradition from the beginning. We heard it on our podcast at the end of the USL2 season where they felt like, yeah, they hit one of their targets. They won the division. They beat Asheville, but they didn't win the conference and they didn't win the national title. Now I fully believe based on the players that One Knoxville has brought in, recruiting from teams that have won at this level before, recruiting players from, you know, the Red Wolves last year who made the final, that they're going for the trophy. They're going for gold. But come Saturday, Patty, you know, I'd love to cap off the first night in Knoxville pro soccer history with a victory. But really?
Yes.
I'm kind of sensitive. And I think emotionally for me, watching the birth of this beautiful and hopefully long history of professional soccer in Knoxville will be the more impactful takeaway for me. Like for me, after going to Yeehaw Brewery and watching the players interact with the young fans and watching the little kids bring their balls out and having players that they don't even know yet, they haven't even seen on the field signing the ball, I think watching the relationship develop between the fan base and the players who are, you know, this is the lower leagues, man. People who have watched Wrexham, Welcome to Wrexham on FX, you know, and they see the players and the fans and all these guys interacting together and the feeling of community. That is the beauty of lower league soccer. You get a community feel. You're going to see these guys around. You're going to hang out with them. You're going to run into them when you're at a brewery or at a restaurant. You might even live in the same apartment complex as a lot of these guys. And so watching that relationship develop is going to be important to me. I was just checking the Discord this morning and, you know, I saw some scruffs talking about what it's going to be like on game day when, you know, these aren't high school fields anymore. You can't just walk onto the field after the game. There's going to be security. There's going to be police officers. Like, what's it actually going to look like on game day? I strongly believe that the club, its ownership, its coaching staff are going to prioritize deepening the relationship between the community and the player. So I think that's the thing I'm most excited about, watching all of that play out.
That is going to be a lot of fun.
What are you pumped about, Patty?
I am pumped to see the return of the crowd favorites, Seba, Danny Fernandez, Jamesy Thomas, and the sleeper hits, Swinkles and Sam Fletcher. You know, I'm just excited for all of those guys to get their first bite at professional soccer and to be there. And to see them come on the field and probably be welcomed louder than the starting lineup when Seba comes on or when Danny comes on or when Jamesy or Swinkles or Sam come on. It's going to be incredible. And then also just to meet the new guys and to see what they got. Jordan Skelton and Ahinga, like I am excited to see them too, as well as the rest of the guys because I'm like, I have no idea, but talking with the gaffer and hearing from him already, it seems like it's the same ball, the same plan, like he always does. I'm just excited to see the new guys and to go out there.
I think it might have been you who said it on a podcast in the past couple of weeks. I remember reading the aftermath of the Chattanooga FC game, which one Knoxville lost 1-0. I believe Seba Andreasen had a goal called back for for controversial offside. But I think somebody said on Twitter, like, man, these guys are playing it like it's like a cup final.
The commentator was saying that.
Yeah, it's exactly what the keeper says. Every match is a cup final.
Let's go. Let's do this.
Patty, you mentioned something which I think is important. So last year we had 40 to 50 players rotating in and out. And there are four of those players who are returning. And so the fan base has been able to develop a closer relationship. I talked to Peter Twinkletoes Swinkles at Yeehaw Brewery, and you know, he said that people are joking and calling him, you know, the Knoxville native. He's the most experienced because he's been here for like 7 months. So they're asking him where to go eat, where to go grab a drink. And you know, these players are fairly new. A lot of them are debuting as pros, and there's only 22 of them. So we get to know them, and we'll see them throughout the entire course of the season. Surely we will see Seba Andreasen and Danny Fernandez, who we had on the podcast a couple of episodes ago, talking about how exciting it is for them to start their professional careers in Knoxville. But we'll also have Swinkles, we'll also have Fletcher, we'll also have the captain, James E. Thomas. And talking to the players, you know, I said, what's hard for us is that McKeever never gives away his starting 11s. It's not like a team. I give the example of like Barcelona in its golden era in the late 2000s, early 2010s. You knew the starting 11. Like Pep Guardiola never adapted his starting 11. You know, there's teams that rotate now. You know, Guardiola with Man City, he rotates really heavily. Wasn't the case at Barcelona. You knew who was going to be in each position. Well, with McKeever, you literally don't know until he gives you the starting 11. And the players don't know either, so they can't give you any hints on like, yeah, I think I'm definitely going to start. Like they're not sure. It's 22 guys fighting for 11 spots. So it's going to be really exciting to see who actually makes the first ever starting roster for the team come Saturday.
Yeah. All right, Brian, we're going to borrow something from the Total Soccer Show. We're going to do VSPs, which is very specific predictions. These are unbased. You're just throwing a dart and it's got to be super specific. What are your very specific predictions?
So for Saturday, I predict that one Knoxville will come away the victors 2-0. I believe they'll win 2-0 on Saturday, and Sebastian Andreasen will come on in the second half and score a colossal header goal that will send the fans into rapturous delirium.
My very specific prediction is that Ami, head of soccer ops, will get a yellow card, but that will benefit one Knox, and we will come away with a victory. All right, so March Madness has begun, and so we're going to borrow a little bit from basketball, but we do have a USL playoff. So who's going to make the final four in the USL playoff?
Great, Patty. So just so fans know, there will be, you know, a league winner, Supporters Shield winner, but then we will have playoffs. And so that final four is going to be Forward Madison, Greenville Triumph, Richmond Kickers, and one Knox SC.
Let's go.
You heard it here first. And the final will be one Knoxville versus Forward Madison. And it'll end 5-5 and go into a penalty kick shootout. And I will not reveal how that shootout will end just yet.
Oh my gosh, that's incredible.
All right, Patty, can I hear your predictions?
My prediction on who will make the final four is one Knox, of course, Chattanooga Red Wolves, boo, South Georgia Tormenta, and Forward Madison. And we're taking down that Eastridge team in the final. It's going to be a blowout, 5-0. It's going to be amazing. All right, here is the cheat sheet to the match day info. One Knox first USL 1 match against Lexington SC will be on Saturday, March 18th at 7 p.m. All home matches will be at Regal Soccer Stadium off of Neyland Drive. The whole stadium, as well as the parking, is cashless. Parking is $5, so card only. And if the lot fills up at the stadium, or better yet, when it does fill up, there will be a shuttle service from the Ag Campus. Season ticket holders, listen up. You can access your tickets with your Ticket Run account. Just follow the instructions that have been emailed to you. Day of tickets are available, ranging from $14 up to $42. And yes, those cheap tickets are for the hills on the opposing side of the stadium, so we can really pack it out. Since it is on the UT campus, we do have to adhere to the clear bag policy and no outside food and beverage. The Scruffs, the supporter club of One Knox, will be tailgating in the parking lot from 5 to 6:30 p.m. Bring your own food and beverage to share and have a good time with good soccer folks. And this is open to all, first-time fans, veterans, visiting fans. Come on and just have a good time.
All righty. Well, I think that's all that we've got, Patty. So, been a pleasure. I cannot wait until Saturday to get things started. As my daughter Alba says, vamos One Knox.
Vamos One Knox.